beyond the checkbox. Developing measurement-based care as a clinical skill in PCBH abstract. Measurement-based care, MBC, holds significant potential to enhance the effectiveness of the primary care behavioral health, PCBH, model, yet it remains inconsistently applied. This article positions MBC not as a procedural task, but as a core clinical competency that fosters therapeutic alliance, clarifies treatment goals, and promotes equitable care. Drawing from contrasting clinical vignettes, we demonstrate how tools inform clinical decision-making and enhance collaboration when applied skillfully by behavioral health consultants. Finally, this article identifies cultural, structural, and operational barriers to implementation and offers pragmatic strategies to integrate MBC into routine care. By reframing MBC as a clinical competency, we advocate for its broader adoption as a standard of care within integrated behavioral health and PCBH specifically. Keywords: measurement-based care, primary care behavioral health, integrated care, outcome measurement, health equity. Clinical vignette. Vignette 1, I thought we were making progress, PCBH without measurement. Angela, a 37-year-old with type 2 diabetes and generalized anxiety disorder, was referred by her PCP for ongoing fatigue and sleep disturbance. During the brief hallway consultation with the behavioral health consultant, BHC, the primary care provider, PCP, shared that Angela was just not herself and expressed concern that stress might be undermining her diabetes management. Angela agreed to meet with the BHC prior to finishing her visit with the PCP. Angela was screened for depression using the PHQ-9 as per the diabetes care protocol and scored in the mild range for depressive symptoms. Over the next 4 months, Angela met with the BHC for 7 sessions. The initial visit was marked by a warm rapport, and Angela's friendly demeanor led the BHC to believe that things were improving. Unbeknownst to the BHC, Angela felt pressure due to the power differential and cultural expectations to appear better than she felt. Each follow-up focused on current stresses, work conflicts, family tension, occasional loneliness without the benefit of a structured measurement framework. The BHC relied on clinical intuition and Angela's effect as sole indicators of progress. As weeks passed, session frequency increased from every 3 weeks to weekly, driven by Angela's continued request for support. During their 7th visit, Angela confided that she was experiencing panic attacks at work, drinking to fall asleep, and avoiding glucose checks. Surprised, the BHC realized their assumptions about progress were misplaced. Angela expressed disappointment. I thought this was supposed to help. I feel like we're spinning our wheels. When the PCP checked in for an update, the BHC struggled to provide a clear clinical trajectory. The absence of measurement had led to vague visit goals, unfocused interventions, and no shared benchmarks. The BHC and PCP later debriefed, both acknowledging the missed opportunity for more deliberate care coordination and clearer clinical communication. The episode of care continued, but with a delayed shift towards structured assessment and planning. Vignette 2, it's good to see it. 2 to PCBH with measurement. Marcus, a 55-year-old managing hypertension and persistent fatigue, was referred to the BHC after his PCP noticed signs of low mood and poor engagement with care. During the initial visit, Marcus acknowledged feeling unmotivated and stuck. The PCP confirmed their suspicions about Marcus's depressed mood by having Marcus complete a PHQ-9 questionnaire and then using the moderate degree of symptoms reported as part of their rationale for including the BHC. The BHC introduced the outcome rating scale, OARS, as a standard tool used to better understand functioning and emotional health over time. The BHC explained that it would help them assess functional improvement along with a decline in symptoms they hoped would show with repeated assessments of the PHQ-9. Marcus agreed, likening it to how his PCP tracks blood pressure. Together, they reviewed the results, moderate depressive symptoms and low functioning in daily life. These scores became a shared reference point at each session. Over 6 visits across 3 months, the BHC and Marcus saw his PHQ-9 scores gradually decline, and his OARS scores improve, often using the trends to initiate reflective conversations. One session pivoted meaningfully when Marcus's PHQ-9 score unexpectedly increased, an early sign of distress from a workplace incident. Noticing that change became an opportunity for timely intervention. Through the structured tool, Marcus had an opportunity to express his distress non-verbally, even though he felt culturally influenced pressure to appear better for his providers. The visit pattern was purposefully structured, bi-weekly for the first month, then monthly. These intervals were coordinated with the PCP to align with Marcus's chronic disease management visits, allowing for parallel updates. When Marcus's mood and daily functioning reached stable, sustained improvements, he and the BHC reviewed his scores one last time. Seeing it like this, Marcus noted, pointing to the score chart, makes it real. I didn't think I'd feel this steady again. The BHC and PCP collaborated to conclude the BHC's episode of care, both noting Marcus's progress and his readiness to resume routine primary care follow-up without behavioral health services for the time being. Marcus left the session with a concrete sense of accomplishment and clear next steps if he needed to return. Key background on topic. Measurement-based care, MBC, the systematic use of validated tools to assess and track patient symptoms, functioning, and progress over time has emerged as a core component of high-quality behavioral health care. A robust evidence base supports its clinical and operational value. Studies have shown that when MBC is used consistently, it leads to improved treatment outcomes, better patient engagement, and enhanced therapeutic alliance. The use of brief tools such as the PHQ-9, GAD-7, and outcome rating scale, OARS, has been linked to more accurate detection of symptom deterioration, more timely treatment adjustments, and increased likelihood of symptom remission in both specialty and integrated care settings. Beyond individual outcomes, MBC enhances care team communication and supports panel-level and population-level tracking in ways that support high-quality care and align with value-based care trends. For primary care teams already accustomed to dashboards, vitals, and lab values, MBC offers BHCs a shared language and operational rhythm. It also plays a key role in equity efforts, helping clinicians reduce reliance on subjective impressions that may be influenced by implicit bias. MBC can also be distinguished from screening protocols such as the diabetes protocol used in Angela's vignette. Screening protocols may use some of the tools used in MBC outcome processes but differ in that screening is primarily about identification of clinical concerns and does not encompass the more complex tasks associated with outcomes tracking. Screening processes may also be completely unrelated to a patient's presenting concerns, whereas the selection of outcome tools, by necessity, is directly related to the patient's issues. In Angela's case, the screening tool served only to identify mild symptoms of depression, but was not relevant to her principal concerns, namely anxiety and feeling overwhelmed by her inability to manage her diabetes. Despite empirical support and conceptual alignment with integrated care principles, MBC remains underutilized in the primary care behavioral health PCBH model, as evidenced by the dearth of clinical outcome studies. While the collaborative care model, COCM, incorporated MBC from its inception, with registry tracking and clinical measurement deeply embedded into workflows, PCBH developed along a different trajectory, and its impact would be enhanced if it incorporated MBC more universally. Originating from a focus on same-day access, brief functional interventions, and relational engagement, PCBH was historically cautious about tools that could feel overly structured or burdensome. This caution was not unfounded. Behavioral health consultants, BHCs, in primary care operate under significant time constraints, often managing 15 to 30 minute sessions with minimal administrative support. Measurement tools, particularly when disconnected from electronic health records or team workflows, are perceived as additional tasks rather than clinical assets. Many BHCs also report skepticism about the point of care utility of common tools, like the PHQ-9, which may not map neatly onto the nuanced goals of a specific visit. Additionally, PCBH, like primary care, often involves a high proportion of single session episodes of care. It is not uncommon in an annual PCBH visit pattern dataset to see nearly 50% of visits be one-time visits. This can serve as a disincentive to collect data on a warm handoff, given the high likelihood of the lack of opportunities for repeated measurement. Of course, in an ideal automated remote measurement system, patient progress could be assessed and any need for further actions identified outside of a single session. It is also true that while the BHC may only need to be involved for a single session, the PCP oversees ongoing longitudinal care. That said, technical support for MBC has historically been poor in health systems. Whereas medical-related measurement is taken for granted in EHRs, measurement for behavioral health and functional health data points often requires additional software builds or the use of third-party services for storage and tracking. In addition, tools that could reduce the administrative burden for repeated administration are poorly supported by payers, who most often do not reimburse or under-reimburse for the use of outcome tracking tools or for the software undergirding the measurement. Therefore, the economic benefit for developing the infrastructure for MBC and PCBH often does not exist or is not robust. These barriers, practical, perceptual, and philosophical, have persisted. In many systems, MBC and PCBH remains the exception rather than the rule. But as the field matures, and as payment models increasingly reward data-informed care, the imperative to integrate measurement grows stronger. The question is not whether MBC belongs in PCBH, but how to implement it in ways that are clinically meaningful, culturally responsive, and operationally sustainable. It is important to note, for context, that MBC is underutilized as well across mental health disciplines and settings, so the challenge of MBC adoption is not unique to PCBH. It is also important to note that many of the solutions proposed here could apply beyond PCBH. Clinical, operational, and ethical challenges. While the rationale for integrating measurement into PCBH is strong, the path to adoption is riddled with practical, cultural, and ethical challenges. These obstacles often operate beneath the surface of well-intentioned clinical workflows, limiting the potential of the PCBH model to fully leverage data-informed care. Time constraints and workflow pressures. Behavioral health consultants, BHCs, often operate within 15 to 30 minute consultations embedded in the natural rhythm of primary care. In this setting, clinicians are tasked with rapid rapport building, functional assessment, brief intervention, and documentation, all while staying attuned to the needs of the broader care team. In such a fast-paced environment, the addition of formal measurement tools can feel intrusive or secondary to the clinical agenda. Many BHCs report they don't have time for standardized tools or feel that it disrupts the organic flow of the visit. Technology and integration barriers. A major operational barrier lies in the lack of seamless integration between measurement tools and EHRs. When tools are paper-based or reside in disconnected systems, they require manual scoring, data entry, and storage tasks that are incompatible with the pace and team-based nature of primary care. Even in systems with digital tools, the lack of real-time dashboards, smart alerts, or graphical trend views limits the clinical utility of measurement data. In many cases, BHCs have access to measurement instruments, but no infrastructure exists to meaningfully apply or revisit the data. Skepticism and training gaps. Measurement as clinical competence. Perhaps the most overlooked barrier is the perception that administering and using outcome measures is an administrative chore rather than a clinical skill. Many clinicians, particularly those trained in relational or humanistic approaches, worry that tools like the PHQ-9 will flatten the therapeutic encounter or reduce patients to mere scores rather than multifaceted individuals. Others may see measurement as something done to the patient rather than with the patient. What's missing is a broader cultural understanding that measurement requires skillful implementation, not just procedural compliance. In the context of Marcus, the BHC skillfully introduced the tool to make their shared goals concrete. This also gave a sense of focus to the work that Marcus picked up on and paralleled his work with his medical provider, knowing how to introduce a tool in a way that aligns with the patient's context, how to interpret results collaboratively, and how to use trends over time to guide treatment is a learned competency. Like motivational interviewing or cognitive restructuring, repeated use of measurement to enhance therapeutic alliance, adjust interventions, and coordinate with the care team is a clinical competence that requires training, supervision, and reflection. Without this recognition, many clinicians may use tools inconsistently or avoid them entirely because they feel ill-equipped to translate data into meaningful clinical decisions. Another common concern is clinician skepticism that MBC is no better than clinician judgment. This could have influenced the BHC in Angela's vignette to avoid using outcome tracking tools, since they felt confident in their assessment of Angela's progress. MBC would not have replaced the BHC's assessment, but it would have helped provide a check on their judgment and alerted them earlier to the unrecognized sense of urgency in the case. Relational risks and ethical concerns. Measurement also introduces ethical complexities, particularly when used without transparency or a patient collaboration. If tools are administered but not discussed, patients may feel reduced to checkboxes. If scores are used to justify ending care without patient input, the process can feel coercive. In trauma-informed settings, measurement that is perceived as externally imposed may activate mistrust or replicate past experiences of disempowerment. Additionally, without clear documentation of how scores inform care, clinicians risk misalignment with ethical standards for informed consent and shared decision-making. Equity and access considerations. Finally, the absence of structured measurement can exacerbate disparities in care. In fast-paced clinical environments, subjective judgments may unconsciously favor patients who are more verbally fluent, culturally aligned with the provider, or able to present well. Measurement offers a partial counterbalance by creating a consistent frame across patients and encounters. But if tools are not available in multiple languages, culturally adapted, or administered in a sensitive manner, they may inadvertently widen the gap rather than close it. To avoid MBC from only being implemented in systems rich in resources, a focus on non-proprietary measures would reduce bias and promote greater dissemination of the practice of MBC. Together we can improve equity in MBC across patient populations if organizations able to create culturally sensitive translations of vocabulary measures were to share them broadly in a spirit of collegiality. Practice considerations. To translate the promise of MBC into everyday PCBH practice, we must reframe it not as an add-on or burden, but as a core clinical function, one that supports alliance, improves decision-making, and aligns with the fast-paced rhythm of team-based care. Below are key considerations and strategies to support this shift. Treat measurement as a clinical competence. The foundation of sustainable MBC in PCBH begins with mindset and practical training and tools. Clinicians must be trained to see the administration and use of outcome measures as a skill shown to improve patient outcomes akin to using brief interventions or functional assessments. This means learning how to introduce tools in a way that fosters collaboration and patient buy-in, interpret score patterns in light of clinical judgment and patient narrative, use repeated measurements to track changes and co-modify treatment accordingly, normalize ups and downs while reinforcing therapeutic progress, use scores as a part of the decision-making around dosing and titrating care, become adept at introducing tools at various times in a consult. Several of the above skills are highlighted in Marcus's case. By regularly monitoring scores on the PHQ-9 and ORS, the BHC was able to rapidly attune to a recent stressor while normalizing fluctuations throughout the course of care. Similarly, graphing score changes over time reinforced progress by allowing Marcus to see the progress he had made since working with the BHC. Just as supervision focuses on how clinicians deliver interventions, it should also include reflection on how measurement is used and how it influences clinical decisions. Clinical training programs and organizations can support this shift by embedding MBC competencies into onboarding, supervision, and ongoing professional development. Many third-party MBC tools embed supervision tools that allow supervisors to monitor a supervisee's use of tools, visit patterns, and other supervisee metrics, thus reducing reliance on self-report. To further support clinician engagement with measurement, organizations should prioritize ongoing, bidirectional communication between leadership and clinicians. Start with behavioral health lab panels. Rather than searching for the single perfect tool, clinics can take a lab panel approach, assembling a small suite of validated tools tailored to match common clinical presentations. For example, depression, stroke, anxiety, PHQ-9, GAD-7, functional assessment, outcome rating scale, ORS, Duke Health Profile, or PROMIS-10, trauma screening, primary care beat ESD screen, BC-beat ESD-5, substance use, audit C or DAS-10. These tools can be customized by one setting or population, but should be standardized within a team to reduce variability and increase familiarity. Just as medical teams rely on shared lab panels, BHCs should be equipped with a streamlined set of measures to draw upon as clinically indicated. While some tools have established severity thresholds, such as the PHQ-9, MBC is most effective when the patient is compared to themself. Use of the patient's baseline score is often more important than a severity indicator set by the tool's normative data and should be contextualized to the patient's life. Integrate measurement into clinical workflow. Successful MBC is focused less on individual tools and more about embedding measurement into the care process. A three-touch model can help. 1. Pre-visit. Collect. Patients complete measures via portal, kiosk, or in the waiting room. 2. In-visit. Share. Clinicians review scores with patients to validate observations, explore discrepancies, or co-create goals. 3. Post-visit. Act. Trends are reviewed over time via dashboards or progress notes to inform pacing, collaboration, and episode closure. Structuring the patient's interaction to begin with a brief mention of measurement responses may identify a focus for the interaction while respecting the patient's priorities. The power of measurement tools comes from connection to documentation, care team communication, and treatment planning. Measurement is not mandatory at every touch point. Just as drawing labs at every visit is unnecessary, coordinate with primary care providers. Measurement can become a shared resource across disciplines. When results are visible in the chart or communicated via warm handoffs or huddles, an increased PHQ-9 score may prompt the BHC and PCP to collaboratively address antidepressant adherence, sleep hygiene, or psychosocial stresses. Measurement provides a common language to align perspectives and enhance continuity. Use measurement to support visit planning and episode closure. Measurement helps determine not just what to do in a session, but when and how often to meet. Patterns of stability may prompt transitioning care back to the PCP with self-management tools, while rising scores can signal the need to step up care. Measurement facilitates clear clinical reasoning and patient-centered planning for episode closure. Leverage technology and team-based solutions. Technology can extend clinician capacity by automating scoring, trend visualization, and air integration. Staff can administer measures during rooming, and dashboards can help BHCs monitor patient panels for early warning signs or readiness for graduation. Low-tech solutions like templated progress notes with embedded graphs can also make MPC visible and usable. Facilitate measurement at the panel level and population level. MPC can transform a health system through continuous learning and real-time adaptability. Panel-level tracking supports coordination and quality improvement. Population-level analysis can inform resource allocation and system-level change. Registries allow outreach if patients drop out, as in Marcus's hypothetical case. Conclusions and lessons learned. MPC is a practical necessity for realizing the full potential of the PCBH model. When thoughtfully implemented, measurement strengthens clinical precision, deepens therapeutic alliance, and supports team-based, data-informed decision-making. Its impact depends on how tools are introduced, used, and understood. As Angela's vignette illustrates, the absence of measurement can create drift in focused sessions, misaligned visit patterns, and missed opportunities. In contrast, skillful use of MPC, as shown in Marcus's vignette, fosters concordance between patient and clinician, guides intentional visit pacing, and makes episode closure a shared and affirming decision. Measurement is not a burden, but a clinical competence. It supports person-centered care, collaborative decision-making, and equity. For PCBH to remain responsive and relevant in a value-based future, it must embrace measurement as both a clinical and moral commitment.